church-wide study on the Creed, which is the Apostles' Creed, and there's maybe 80 to 100 people in groups looking through a book that Adam Hamilton, who's a Methodist pastor, wrote on this. It's a way of galvanizing us around in a world that's so polarized and at each other to say, these are the things that I think are worth dying over. And then after that, we might listen to each other a little bit. But the Creed. So today is on I Believe. Matt did the Holy Spirit last week. And this week it goes the Holy Catholic Church, the Communion of Saints. That's our phrase. The text comes from John 17, and I'll read three verses. Jesus is praying, and he prays not only for the disciples that are right with him, but for the disciples that are yet to come, which would be you all. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world would believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given to me, I give to them, so that they might be one in the same way that we are one, I in them, you in me, that they might be completely one, so that the world would know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. We believe here that grass will wither and flowers will fade, but that the word of God will live on forever and ever. This actually happened in a German university in Munich, in a department for gravitational physics. There was a physics teacher who gave a group an assignment that turned into a world phenomenon. Maybe you've heard of it or even participated in it. So the question was on an exam, what if all the Chinese people in that country, able and alive, could stand on a chair, an average Chinese chair of 20 inches high or roughly a meter, and could jump off simultaneously, exactly at the same time, and hit that continent with an aggregate thump, could it or would it maybe throw the world off of its axis? So they had to come up with joules and, I mean, you know, physics kind of joules, and energy measurements to see what kind of impact a billion, 0.3, give or take, a few dozens of millions of Chinese people jumping at the same time. Most students equated that it would be somewhere between 600 and 700 tons of TNT that would be going off in one part of the world, and that it would certainly maybe even produce an earthquake or rock a part of that continent, but not nearly enough to throw the world off of its spinning. But one student got the test answer correctly when he said any amount of weight distributed could never permanently change the Earth orbit using the planet's own mass, which indicates that of the world's population, unless such population is ejected from the Earth at an escape velocity and then brought back in from the outside. In other words, according to Newtonian physics or the third law of motion, anything would theoretically be impossible within its own energy source to shift the Earth's orbit. Makes sense? For every action, there would be an opposite and equal reaction, which means if all these Chinese people could coordinate this and jump off the chair, even the movement up would redistribute and then down would negate that which happened. Makes sense? You with me on this? So hence came World Jump Day. Anybody ever participated? They actually do this around the world. They try to synchronize people jumping to see if it does anything. I'm glad you didn't participate. It doesn't do anything, actually. So, the bottom line of this, you're wondering, what does this have to do with the church? What if to change the world we needed something from the outside coming in? What if theoretically we can't change ourselves or change the world around us? What if to throw the world or our own lives off its current axis or trajectory, We would need something out and beyond ourselves. It was said of the early church from a Roman in the book of Acts, these Christians, they have come here too, and they have turned the world upside down. Theoretically, what they're saying is that something came from the outside, some radical power, in this case, the love and grace of Jesus Christ that impacted human lives so radically that it literally turned the world upside down. When we say we believe in the church, I say we believe in the dreams and prayers of Jesus for his first disciples, that a radical outside love could come so powerfully to us that could impact the way that we treat others and the world around us, and hence maybe throw the trajectory of human lives and even the movement of our earth in a different direction. In the Creed, it says, I believe in the Holy Church. The word holy translates into the word saint. Paul actually and Jesus used this word 163 times in the New Testament. The word Christian or little Christ only shows up 2 times. In other words, this was the early church's most popular way of describing themselves, holy. It sounds radical because some of us don't feel very holy. And if you asked me from my Catholic background, would you consider yourselves to be a saint? Normally I would have said no, until I came to the understanding that it's Christ that makes us holy because he's holy. Literally, Christ cleanses us, forgives us, loves us to a place of authenticity where the outside can eventually match the inside. And then the word holy means to set it aside or to place it in a separate place for special use. When I was a kid, my mom had china that we would bust out when somebody was a valedictorian or, they didn't do that for me, or a state champion in something or some big monumental thing. One time I brought a grade up to a B and they said, that counts. So they brought the china out. And what that was, it was set apart or sacred ware that indicated something special was going on. This is God's description of you who have been loved and forgiven by Christ. You have been differentiated. You've been set aside. You've been redeemed. You've been picked out. You've been put over here. Why, you wonder? To be a part of a Catholic church. Notice in the Creed, it's a small c. It doesn't mean that you've joined the Roman Catholic Church. The Greek word Catholic, from which our creed comes, means kata, or according to. The next Greek word means the general or universal or inclusive or complete group of believers. So when we say we believe in a holy Catholic Church, the Catholic part means this. Somewhere there is on Worldwide Communion Sunday today in Africa a community of Methodists, non-denominational Catholics. Somewhere in China there are house church movements, all of which we believe are connected into a body, a family, an organic movement of a stream that changes the way the world works from the outside in. Catholic simply means inclusive, all-embracing. Any person who says, Jesus is mine, becomes a sister or a brother to us, whether they're Methodist, Catholic, or nothing. So, my dad used to say to us, kids, well, you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your family like this. And I thought, oh, how wonderful to be in a family. But the amazing thing is to get older and fall in love with people that you're related to. When you really come to love them, I think fulfills the dream of every parent. When kids choose to get along and love each other as real brothers and sisters. A Roman emperor once dispatched a philosopher to investigate the early church and to come up with what they were about. And the report back essentially was this. I don't understand their creeds, doctrines, or their strange methods of eating the flesh of its founder. This I know, he said. Their founder put it into their heads that they're actually brothers and sisters to each other. The meaning of the creed just means this. Not only are we stuck with each other, but we're here for an outside influence of God's Holy Spirit to enable and empower us to encourage, love, and embrace and change each other's trajectory by the radical love of Christ. I remember one time reading a book by A.A. Milne. It was a Winnie the Pooh book with my kids. Remember it. Piglet was going to sleep with Winnie the Pooh. They had their backs to each other in the little nest area where animals sleep. It got dark, and in the dark, Piglet whispers, "Pooh." "Yes," says the bear. "Are you there?" "Yes," says the bear. "What do you need?" "Nothing," said the pig. "Just needed to know you're still there." The idea of a holy Catholic Church is to be in the middle of the night of our lives and know that somebody is there, that we're loved, that we're known, that our story matters, that we're being lifted and encouraged and blessed. Membership was never supposed to be akin to like a flower club or a volunteer association. For example, I just ran into a person not too long ago from this church who got mad at something, which we all do sometimes, and realized that this is a crazy place, which it is, and ran into somebody who wasn't perfect, which we're not, and they eventually left the church. They said to me, nobody from the church reached out, and they were glad now to be on their own. In my own heart, I wondered, I didn't say this out loud, but what an indictment to be a part of a church and leave and nobody notice. What a remarkable and horrible indictment to think that we didn't serve alongside someone, care, pray, be woven into human friendships in such a way that it would matter. If one of my siblings left our family, I would know it. To the Hebrews, Paul writes, "But the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call you," he says, "brothers and sisters." This is not a unity of administrative organization or ecclesiastical organization, but it was designed to be a relationship of love and fellowship in a way that our lives are being knit together so that when something happens to us, somebody else notices, cares, and reaches in love. And when something happens to another, we reach their way. The creed tells us that the church is to be a communion of saints, an extraordinary or beyond the outside, striving with our lives to find a power to love and care for each other, and then bind together in a movement that honors and makes Christ known by the love we share for those around us. More natural it is for me to be divided and opinionated. More natural it is for me to bicker than to love, to fly apart than to come together, to be jealous, pinched, prideful. Something from the outside has spoken to me in this way, that the miracle is not to fly or to walk on water, but to be on earth with brothers and sisters in a way that it makes a difference to you, to me, and to each other. The early Methodists were a movement of Christians that gathered together to not judge each other, but to support and learn to pray and grow in their faith. John Wesley said, and I quote, "I will never proclaim a gospel for someone to come to Christ where there is not a system or structure for them to come to each other in love." Wow, I think. He would later say, "No one can get to heaven by themselves." This is why we believe in divorce recovery, healing care, prayer partners, and for us to come out of hiding in things like healing ministries. This is why we come together for children through VBS and need all different parts of bodies to cook, teach, love, shepherd, act, and do arts. This is why we have a blue bus that goes out and feeds 12,000 some odd meals a year for people to pick up food, clean up, cook up, serve up in the name of Christ, to do things together that we could never do apart. This is why we hold Logos programs on Thursday night and have people who have gifts of hospitality and teaching and cooking to love our kids into existence. This is why we send armies of people into the foster system to love these kids and to support each other as we stretch ourselves beyond our knowing. Saints are those who visit the sick, share communion with shut-ins, and who feed the hungry at our city missions. Saints are those who count the monies after Sundays, who invite people to Emmaus walks, and who care enough to lean into those who suffer with depression and other illnesses. It's from outside of the church that the Spirit has come, a freedom to find Christ and to be ourselves. Love bursts that those of you have to draw other people in. I believe in the church still, I do. I believe in a communion of saints that's been chosen to grow together in Christian love. In just a few weeks, we'll celebrate All Saints Day, which is a communion of saints with people we can't even see. Some of you have moms and dads and grandparents where you still hear their voice on a daily basis. You don't even have to ask, what would they think? Their voices come into your head and heart so powerfully, it's as though you've had a phone conversation. Some of you know some of the biblical saints, or C.S. Lewis, or John Wesley, in a way that they speak still into our current and everyday life. Some of you have had mentors and friends and lovers who have shaped the trajectory of your life from a force outside of what we know to be nature. When we say we believe in a holy and Catholic Church, we mean even people from the balcony who cheer our running for our own race. Let me close with this true story. A young guy who came into our church family at a different church through Royal Family Kids Camp. He was so touched by a superhero who wrapped him in a cape and told him of God's love that he showed up in our church because he begged his foster parent that he could come to our church and see camp counselors and friends he had met at a life-changing experience that gave him hope. This young boy named Tyler used to wear the same clothes to church every single week of his life. He was taught scriptures by people who love and encourage kids. He ate food by people who loved and cared about his appetite. On the day he was baptized, there was about 150 people who crowded around this young guy and prayed for God's blessing to emerge in his life. The custodian of our church took him on in a way that a love transformed both their lives. He taught him how to open cans of paint, how to clean things, practical skills that would do him well in life, and then shared a part of his own salary with him so Tyler would have spending money. The day he graduated from college, he wrote me a note. He put in there, "If it weren't for people who loved God, I can't imagine where my life would be." I whispered back in my heart when I read this note, "Oh, Tyler," I thought, "I can't either. I can't either imagine what my life would be like without people like you, who manifest and show the love of Christ, not perfect people, but plain, ordinary people whose lives was changed by the power of the outside when we realized God would come from heaven to earth to humiliate himself, to tear bread and say, 'This is my body,' he would say to common, ordinary, broken people, 'broken for you, so that you might be holy and Catholic.'"
And then when that supper was over, on the same night, Jesus took the cup, blessed it, gave thanks to him, and then said to his disciples, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this every time you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, God, your holy church, those gathered here, and pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world Christ's body, redeemed by his blood. Make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Amen.
I have some family housekeeping before we take communion.